Walt Benscotter was born and raised on American Ridge and still lives within a mile of his father's homestead. He has farmed all his life, growing up with the increasing mechanization of farming procedures. Since bigger equipment enables a single man to farm more land, many of Walt's neighbors have left and their yards been plowed over. He tells stories about thrashing crews, socials, the farmers' union, the Depression, horse-drawn equipment, and many other phases of a vanishing way of life.
When I was a kid, I used to work for 4 bits a day.
4 bits a day?
Yeah.
Doing what kind of stuff?
Oh, that was in the horse and buggy days, you know, and it wasn't, things weren't very well mechanized, and they even planted beans with it. You know, one of these old stab planter? Well, I got one out here in the shop, I'll show you. And they planted with these stab planters, one row or two rows at a time, whichever you were capable of doing, you know.
Is it something you carry along with
you? Yeah, you just carry it, you stab it in the ground and go to, you know, plant a hill at a time. And I used to do that in the spring and hoeing beans. Then it got up to a dollar a day when I got bigger.
Uh-huh.
Then we used to have a pile of beans, you know. That was a kind of a kid job, you know what I mean? A man could do a lot more, but a kid could do it too.
Piling beans?
Piling beans, you know. They were all planted in rows, and the cutter would bring two rows together, and then a side delivery rake would rake 6 rows together, and would put them in piles so they could be picked up, you know, and hauled to a machine.
Oh, a machine to get the beans out?
Yeah, a thrashing machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to pile beans and all that kind of farm work. But we used to raise a lot of beans here, believe it or not. But, the price got to where we couldn't afford to raise them. If you get what I mean, we wasn't getting enough out of them to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was so much labor concerned. You can see where that was. It was all hand labor, you know. Cultivating, you cultivated a team of horses. Some people had two-row cultivators. Most of them were single-row. And then they should be hoed. A lot of people didn't. But if you didn't, you got your ground so cockeyed, foul, you couldn't raise them.
Mm-hmm.
Then the wages didn't amount to much. Harvest wages were usually pretty good. I think, of course, those were mighty long hours and it was hard work. Pitching bundles, I think you used to get 2.5. I never did pitch bundles, but when I got big enough, I drove a bundle wagon. And we used to get $4 for that. That included the team and the wagon and the man. I hauled a lot of bundles.
Well, was this a good bean-growing country?
Well, not really. You know, it depends a lot on the season. You know, a good season with a good rain and everything, I believe they did raise beans here maybe that made 8-9 sacks to the acre.
How many pounds a sack?
Sack, there'd be about 150 pounds in a sack of beans. And they're quite heavy, you know. But then other years, we wouldn't get over 4 sacks. You know, a year like this, you wouldn't get over 4 sacks. I remember one year that we planted beans, and it was drizzling rain when we planted them. And we never got another rain until those beans were harvested. But we did have winter moisture, something we don't happen to have this year. And we got, if I remember, we got about 4 sacks that year.
What was the price of beans?
Around a nickel.
Nickel for how much?
Nickel a pound, yeah. And of course that varied too. Just, you know, if there happened to be a shortage, why, I remember one year that the Navy bought up a whole slug of beans that was going to make a trip around the world, which I'm sure they did. And the price went up. But I can't remember now to just what point. Seems like it was about 10 cents, so. But that was just temporary. After the harvest, it was gone, you know, after the harvest. Then southern Idaho, we got to producing beans, and they were irrigated, you see, and they could raise so many more pounds to the acre than we could that, well, they just kind of run us out of business.
About when was that? About when did you stop?
Well, let's see. I remember piling beans when I was about 12 years old and was born, and so that'd be about 1910, 12, all in there. That's when I was a kid. I don't know, we raised beans even after I got married. I remember one year we had 125 acres of beans, and the whole cockeyed works got wet. It got rain in the fall, got them wet, and we hauled them and stacked them after they froze dry. And we thrashed them and hauled them to Troy. And if my recollection serves me right, we got 2.5 cents for them. But they were damaged. They all had to go through a picker, you know, or be picked by hand. They used to pick a lot of beans by hand.
Select them?
Huh?
Select the good ones, you mean?
Yeah. You know, they had to, well, in these warehouses, I don't know just how they did do it. I never did visit one when they were picking beans. But they had some sort of a conveyor belt, and a whole lot of people sit along that belt and pick the dirt and the colored beans out. And of course, that cost money too, but not very much, because wages is only about a buck a day. But even after I got to farming for myself, wages weren't anything. I remember, well, that was during the Depression. That was in the 30s, the dirty 30s. Best man I ever had on the place. I paid $1.50 a day, and that was top wages. A lot of guys was only getting a buck. But he was a good one. He was a farmer that had, well, I shouldn't say he's the only good man I had, because I had several. But this one I remember in particular, he was from the Dakotas. He froze out in the Dust Bowl back there. He told me how many years he'd gone without a crop. I think it was 5 years he'd gone without a crop. Something like that. How I get the bank carried him, I don't know what else. Mm-hmm. And he came out here busted. He didn't have a cent to his name. He was hitchhiking on the railroad.
Mm-hmm. That was in the 30s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 30, I think that was 30, in either 32 or 33, I can't remember quite. Anyway, he went to work for me, and just before haying, can't remember now what we're doing, but I remember when we got ready to hay that it rained pretty near every day there for a week or 10 days, and we just built some feed racks and messed around. Probably built some fence too. Yeah, I know we built some fence. And then he worked through for me all through haying and harvest, I believe. But I don't know that you could hire men then that knew something about farming. Now all the labor you can get on the farm now is mostly high school kids. Most of them don't know beans about farming, you know. Have to educate them. And of course, you know what wages are. Hey, did they ever get that minimum wage raised to, what was it, 220 or something like that?
The Congress passed it, but they haven't sent it to the president yet.
Yeah.
They're still waiting on it.
Yeah. Oh boy, getting more in there than we used to in a whole day.
What did you do during the Depression? Did you keep farming during the Depression?
I was farming, yeah. I had to borrow on my life insurance to feed my family, pay my grocery bill. And at that time, we raised a terrific garden. And I would say at least half or maybe more of our living expense came out of the garden. Of course, we had our own meat, had our own hogs and beef. And that helped a lot. And milk and butter and eggs. But hell, we sold grain for 25 cents a bushel, and that didn't even pay expenses. Sold hay for $8 a ton, baled. If I remember, it cost $4 a ton to bale it. And $4, and I spent, at that time, I spent $4 an acre for rent. And a lot of times the hay didn't make over a tenth the acre, so you can see where I was. Yeah, you know, pretty tough titty, I tell you.
It sounds like it was.
Well, it really was.
Were you farming with machinery then, or were you still using horses?
No, at that time we still had horses. I think we got our first combine in 38, if I remember right. Well, we had a little old wheel tractor. We didn't use it much for farming. We run a chop mill with it, and we did some farming with it. That's chopping grain. We had a little chop mill that we chopped our grain with, feed our horses, our pigs, our cows. Well, we had milk cows. I didn't keep many milk cows. Five, I think, is the most I ever had one time. But I always had about at least three. So we sold cream, but there was no money in that either. But there was no money in anything, no matter what you done. Eggs. I sold eggs for 8 cents a dozen. Oh boy, that's cheap eggs. They're 80 now or better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
When you were farming with horses, how much land did you farm then?
Well, I was farming with my brothers, and the place I lived on had 330 acres, and Frankie's place had about 200, and Pete was on the old home place. He had 160, and then we rented. Well, we was renting 40 acres to the old Jacob's place, and then we bought it. Well, that'd be over 700 acres, the three of us was farming.
How many men did you have to have working for you?
Well, really, doing our farm work, we didn't have any, just in harvesting and haying. And we raised quite a bit of hay, which the idea was to build the ground up, you know, alfalfa. And as a matter of fact, the place I was renting, the guy insisted that I raise so much alfalfa every year. It was mandatory. And then, of course, with horses, you had to have a lot of hay. And we sold hay. And boy, that was lots of hours for a few dollars.
What was sort of a typical day like when you were...
Pardon?
What was a typical day like when you were horse farming?
Oh, you mean for hours?
Hours or what you did?
Well, if you want to figure the hours that were spent from the time you got up till you went to bed, it'd be about 18. Of course, you didn't put that many in the field, but you get up and you had a whole bunch of horses to wrangle. I used to work 9-10 horses all the time, and well, 8 during the farm work. Mostly 8. When I was plowing, I'd use 9. But that took quite a bit of time. Then you had the cows to milk, you know. So you spent several hours before you got in the field. In the fall, I went to the field many mornings with a lantern to find a plow. And of course, you had to quit when it got dark. Then you had the horses to take care of and the cows to milk again.
Well, around haying and thrashing and stuff, did you usually hire people or did you trade work with other farmers?
Well, we traded some work, like a thrashing machine would have a crew, you know, he'd have the sack sawers and the bundle pitchers, and of course the machine men, whatever was necessary, and the farmer's job was to get the bundles to the machine, and that's where we traded work, with the bundle haulers, you know. And then that period passed, and the machine got to hiring the whole crew, and of course charging more per sack. And if you got a bundle, if you could get a bundle team on, well, that would cut your thrashing bill down, you know.
Did you ever have your own thrasher?
No, we never did have a thrasher. First thing we had was a combine. Horse-drawn combine.
Was that a ground power or what?
No, it wasn't a ground power. It had a motor on it.
How'd that work?
It worked good. It was a real good machine in one sense, but it was never built to handle the straw that we had. If you get what I mean, it was the header was just too narrow. It was a Holt, which was a popular machine at that time. And it just didn't, you had to be awful careful. And if the grain was standing, but it seems like at that time we had an ungodly amount of a down grain, and that's one thing that caused us to buy it. You couldn't bind down grain. There was no way you could get it with a binder, you know, but you could with a combine. And that's why we bought the combine. One fall we had a bunch of down grain, and we bought this combine, and we had a hell of a time the first year, because there was a lot of down grain and awful slow, and you can imagine what that would be with a bunch of horses stopping and starting so many times, you know. If we'd have had a tractor to pull it with, it would have been a lot simpler, and you could have gone a lot slower. It's kind of hard to get horses to creep, you know what I mean.
Well, did you know how to run it then?
Oh, well, we learned how. I never did actually run a machine. I always drove combine. Even after we got the tractor, that's all I done was drive. My brother was a good mechanic, so I used to help him overhaul the thing. I knew all about it. But it was much simpler when we got the tractor.
How many horses had to haul that combine?
Well, the first combine we had was, we used 12 on it. And the next one we got, we used 18. And we got on some steep ground down there on the landing place. We used 24. Four sixes of 24. And boy, that was steep. That was quite a thrill the first round I made around that hill. My leaders looked plumb out of sight before I got up the hill on the other side. That's a fact. They was out of sight. I couldn't see where they were. till they got the combine up on top, and then it was right down over the hill.
Was it a problem keeping them slowed back enough?
Pardon?
Was it a problem keeping them slowed back enough going down a hill like that?
Oh, no, no, no. After the horses have been on the combine, you know, for several days, and after they've learned, that they were real good. You know, you pull back on the, you just drove the lead team, you know. The rest of them were all bucked into the bull chain of the combine, the center chain. I never did have runaway. I've heard of people having runaway at the combine, which I would never want to experience.
Yeah. What other kind of equipment did you have to use when you were doing horse farming?
What kind of equipment?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what we used years ago when I was a kid, we used to use walking plows. And of course, the old harrow and the Acme harrow and a disc. And matter of fact, we took an old cedar and made a weeder out of it, which was very similar to the duckfoot weeder they have now. And it was very light in comparison, you know what I mean.
It was made out of cedar?
Huh?
Made out of cedar?
No, you know what a drill is.
Oh, a drill.
A drill. Well, this was before the drills. They called them a cedar. But they had shanks that come down, you see, that were suitable to put sweeps on.
Mm-hmm.
And we used that for several years. Then, of course, did you ever hear of a right lap?
Mm-mm.
Well, they're a disc that turns just one way. They throw to the right. They call them a right lap. And that was one of our main tools, too,
mm-hmm.
was a right lap. We worked about 7 horses on it. And a plow, then we graduated from the walking plow to a gang plow. And we worked 6 and 7 horses on those.
You still had to walk behind the gang plow, didn't you?
Oh, no. No, you could ride a gang. No, matter of fact, they had sulky plows. They were just a single furrow plow that you could ride. And we had one time. And that, you could use either 3 or 4 horses on it. But I don't... we never did run it very much, and why, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you one thing, the draft, it would work, say, 3 horses. It would work 3 horses a lot harder on it than it would on a walking plow. So we just walked and used the walking plow. We'd get more acres that way. Turn the same amount of the furrow was the same. They're both 16-inch plows. Then after I moved down to the Myers place, I got a 3-bottom plow. I used 9 horses on it. That was quite a graft, boy, getting 9 horses ready and getting out there in the morning. Once in a while in the spring we'd have a hired man where we had a lot of work to do. It depends. Tried to get everything plowed in the fall. But some falls didn't allow it. You know, you couldn't go out and plow ground as dry as it is now, like they do now. You know, you go out with a big old heavy tractor plow, you can plow partner any time of the year you want to. But we couldn't do that, you know. We couldn't keep a plow on the ground. That's, there was some moisture there. And so some years we didn't get her plowing done. I plowed snow under a lot of times. They used to claim it was the wrong thing to do, which I think it was. But I used to do it.
Why would it be the wrong thing to do?
Well, I don't know. They said it caused the ground to run together or something. I don't know, you see. Yeah, I plowed as much as 6 inches of snow under. Matter of fact, I plowed when it was the cockeyed cold that you couldn't have plowed if there hadn't have been snow. You know what I mean? The ground would have been froze. But with the snow there, why, you had a cinch on it except for the first furrow in the morning. And boy, that was a tough one to break.
Because that one had froze over?
Yeah,
that
it freeze in, you see, from the side. But after you got the first round, everything was rolling then. Mm-hmm.
Do you think farming's become a harder thing or an easier thing since all this?
Easier. Hell bells, a combine man sits in an air-conditioned cab. We used to sit out there and eat the dust, and his eyes full of dirt. Boy, I'll say it's easier. And not only that, the plowing and whatnot, they have air-conditioned cabs on their tractors. And you come in at night perfectly clean. Used to come in at night covered with dirt. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's a much easier thing now. And one man can do so much more. Think of how much more a man would do with a tractor today. We'll say, even if you just got a five-bottom plow, they have a lot of them that are a lot bigger than you do with a walking plow, one furrow.
But how much could a man do a day? A good plowman. How much could he plow in a day with a walking plow?
With a walking plow, I think about 3 acres was the limit. If I remember right, and that was a long day. Now they plow 40. Easy. Maybe even more. Depends, you know, the bigger the tractor, the bigger the plow, the more you plow. You know, the walking plow days was long hour days, I'll tell you.
About how old were you when you started, you know, working with walking plow?
Oh, you see, I had two brothers older than I. So I actually didn't have to go to school until I was about, I suppose I was 16 or 17 years old before I ever done walking plow. I used to do other jobs before that, such as raking hay. Harrow, I used to harrow when I was quite a bit younger. Walking plow is quite a graft. Walk all day. It ain't easy walking either. Gotta have had mud cleared up to my knees. You know, when it was sloppy in the fall, freezing and thawing, they just work right up your shoes and up your pant leg.
When the thrashing crews would come around, how many of them were there?
Better than 20. Most of them.
And would the farmer take care of them while they're at his place?
Oh, absolutely. The farmer, well, now there's something else that changed. When I was a kid, the farmer always fed them. You know, he fed all the horses, he fed all the men. But that changed and they got to having cookhouses.
Why did it change, do you know?
Huh?
Do you know why?
Well, I really don't know why it changed, but it did. And of course, it was an imposition on the farmer to have to feed him because, you know, he'd have to get extra help for the house. And sometimes it was hard to get. Usually, though, it was neighbor girls. Mm-hmm. But in any case, it changed, and they went to the cookhouse, and everyone ate at the cookhouse. And the water buck for the engine. They always had a water buck that hauled water for the engine, which was a steam, you know, steam engine. And he'd haul water for all the horses to drink. Sometimes it wasn't the best water. It was old pond water, and sometimes the horses wouldn't even drink. They'd pretty near choke to death before they'd drink it, you know. And we wouldn't even need go near the buildings. We'd stay out in the field night and day. Make a bed at the straw pile and tie our horses to our bundle rack and fit them on the ground.
You used to work with the thrashing crew?
Pardon?
You used to work with the thrashing
crew? Oh yeah, I followed the thrashing crew a lot. Several falls before we got the combine.
Where did you work mostly when you went with the thrashing crew?
Oh, just on the fridge. Just on the fridge. I never... you know where Junie May lives up here on top of the hill? House of the Red Roof? One year we thrashed the whole cockeyed ridge, clearing from there this whole lower portion with one machine. As I remembered, the next year then we had a wet fall and a lot of grain got wet and damaged. And then that brought in another machine.
Is it harder to thrash?
Huh? Well, you couldn't thrash it, you know, until it dried out. It just, a lot of it sprouted right in the shock, and was a terrible loss. So the next year they formed a co-op here on the ridge and bought a machine. And from then on we had two machines until the combines took over.
Who owned that first machine?
Well, Warney May used to own a machine. That's Junie's dad. He owned a machine for years, but the machine that thrashed the whole ridge the year I went with him was Chris Meyer. He is the guy that owned the place that I lived on down there. He later sold out, and that was when I rented the place. He had a real big machine. It was, I think, a 42-inch cylinder. And there were 10 bundle haulers. Now, you asked me how many went with the machine. There was 10 bundle haulers. And I can't remember now whether there's 5 or 6 pitchers. I think there's 6 pitchers. That'd be 16. A cleanup man is 17. An engineer is, did I say 17?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 17. An engineer is 18. A fireman is 19. 3 sack sewers is
22.
A separator man is 23. Draw buck is 24. Sometimes I had an oiler, it'd be 25. That's quite true. Then, of course, after they got that same year, if I remember right, we had a cookhouse. And there had to be a roustabout. There's another man. And 2 cooks.
What'd the roustabout do?
All groceries mostly, and water for the cooks. Of course, that water had to be good water. And of course, it was all hauled with a. It was all done with a team of horses. You didn't jump in the car and run to town. You drove down there with a team of horses. I think you probably made a trip to town every day. Pretty near have to get fresh meat, you know.
Well, usually from this end of the ridge, people went down to Kendrick.
Pardon?
Did people usually go down to Kendrick from this end of the ridge?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about when they after the grain was all thrashed, and the farmers had it sacked up? It was
yeah, the machine just put it in piles, you know, back five high. That was a standard height for a sack pile. Then after it all thrashed, the farmer had to haul it to town.
How would he get it to town?
Team and wagon. Now, listen, I told you about this company machine. Well, they changed things there, too. They quit the sacks and went to bulk. That was the first bulk that was ever hauled here. Mm-hmm. And they went to bulk, which was a big saving. They saved the sack. And the farmers, I don't remember now how many wagons they run. I think it was six, so.
They just keep running them all the time?
Yeah, that's right. Six, I think they had six bulk wagons, and they hauled, I believe, around 150 bushels to the load, which would be a mighty small load for a truck now, you know. And you took your turn, and some poor devil, you know, he'd come in way late at night.
Did they ever use those tramways off this ridge?
Not off of this ridge, but it's a tramway off of Potlatch Ridge.
I know, there was a tramway that went down to Julietta, too.
Yeah, there was a tramway into Julietta, if I remember right. I can't remember where it was, I can't remember. But I'm quite sure there was one. But I remember the one that come into Kendrick real well. Matter of fact, I remember seeing it work.
How did that go?
Well, it was they had buckets. I can't remember now. Yeah, I think they were buckets, some kind of buckets or clamps or something. They clamped the sack, and there was just one sack at a time. They had trams that hauled five sacks at a bucket. And it was just a continuous thing, you know. It was just one sack right after the other.
And the weight of the sack going down would...
Yeah. They even had to have a... I don't know how they started it. I suppose maybe just put a few sacks on her and start her off. But they had to have a brake. I can't remember now what tram it was. There was some tram in this country that got away. The brake failed, and boy, it took the end right out of the cockeyed warehouse. Yeah, you know, there'd be. I can't remember now how far apart those buckets were. They had to be far apart enough so that a man was able to load them, you know, as each bucket come by. They tried someplace, that was down on the Snake Rivers, I think. They tried a pipe, tried to run it down bulk, you know. But it wore out the grain and wore out the pipe. It wasn't practical.
What about this cooperative that you said there was up here that people formed a co-op to buy a thrashing machine?
They formed a co-op. There was I don't remember now how many farmers there was. Norley could tell you because he worked on that machine all the time. You get his opinion on that.
How about other? Other co-ops.
They had another co-op. The Farmer Union had a co-op here years and years and years ago. That's when I was a kid. And they used to buy a lot of stuff through the co-op. such as, well, it was mostly produce, such as honey. They used to buy honey and fish and brooms, raisins.
Was that, would the co-op also buy stuff from the farmers?
Yeah. In return, I don't ever remember of what this particular ridge ever contributed to the co-op. I just don't know.
About when was that?
You asked Norley about that. He's got a hell of a lot better memory than I have.
But your dad was a member of that co-op?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Practically everyone was.
Was the farmers union formed for any purpose besides getting cheaper stuff to the farmers?
Well, the farmers union, you know, I don't know. I think they had a lobbyist in Washington, D.C. to lobby for farm programs, you know, and stuff like that. And I think that was the main purpose, maybe, of the co-op, was to just to buy stuff cheaper, you know, and cut out the middleman, which it did. And why it died out, I'll never know that. I just don't know why.
About when did it die out?
Well, I can't remember that either.
But when you were was it still going when you were married?
Oh no. No, it wasn't. No, it died out before then. I never got married until 27. 27? Maybe I was older than that. I guess it was. I guess I was 28. I'll have to ask my wife.
What kind of changes have you seen on the ridge here as far as the way people work with each other and everything, or the way neighbors are with each other and stuff like that?
The neighbors aren't as close as they used to be. Not near. I don't think. The farms have gotten bigger. People sold out. Nobody sold out around here lately, but I could show you I don't know how many building sites where there used to be buildings where there aren't anymore.
Well, did the early farmers cooperate with each other a lot more than they do today, you think?
Oh, yes, I do.
In what sorts of ways?
Well, in every way. They were more helpful for one another. And one thing that ruined that, I think, is the automobile. We used to have parties and annual regular gatherings, you know. Meet once a month or so, play cards. But they even, at one time, they had a literary program down here at the schoolhouse. That went by the board. I led mostly all of the automobile. People got to automobiles and they got to go on places and they didn't have time to associate with their neighbors. It's about what it amounts to. They wanted entertainment, they went to Lewiston, Moscow or someplace.
Was there any way that the farmers could help watch out for each other, like during the hard times during the winter or something? Yeah.
I don't think there's a doubt in the world what they'd do that right today if anybody got in hard circumstances, but what they would help him out. I know it happened not too long ago right down here below us, a neighbor Smith's daughter had an accident, a terrible accident. They went over the grid and broke her back, and she needed medical attention real bad, and Bob wasn't financially too well off, and hell, the neighbors raised him with quite a slug of money. They didn't donate a few dollars, they donated 50 and 100 and really dug down for him, you know. So I think as far as that's concerned, they're probably as close now as they ever were.
Before there were telephones and things up here, how did people keep in touch with each other to make sure everything was all right?
Horseback.
Horseback. Even in the winter, they'd ride from place to place?
Yeah, if anything went wrong, that's the only way, all the communication we had. One neighbor to the other, you know. What would you call it? Mouth to ear.
They never tried to set up signal systems or anything to...
Pardon?
They never tried to set up signal systems or anything?
No, no signal system.
But how long would people be snowed in up here when that came?
We were never snowed in very long. Not when we had horses, because, you know, a horse would wallow through it. I remember when we just... before they had good bulldozers and, you know, good road equipment. A bunch of the guys here on the ridge went together and built a great damn big V and put about, I don't remember how many horses we had, 12 anyway. And we'd clean up the roads with it, you know. And even one instance, I remember over here, it got so bad we couldn't get through it with the horses. That was after automobiles came. Had to have the road going. And we even shoveled that drift out. Then went through with the V. But before automobiles, we used to drive over the top of the drift. We'd get, or go through somebody's field. You know, go around it. But there wasn't near as much traffic then as people go on the horses. They didn't go near so much. At least they didn't go near so far.
Well, tell me about the socials you used to have out here, or the things people would do, like when they weren't working.
Well, mostly card parties, I'd say. They used to, in the wintertime, there used to be quite a number of card parties. And like I said, at one time, and that was really before my time, but when they had this literary program down here, which was a fine thing, really. Babe can tell you about walking to school through the snow. She lived up there. Norla lives. She's Norla's sister. And I didn't have to walk so far.
Where was the school from here?
Well, that's where Frankie lives.
The school was on your place then?
Hmm?
The school was on your place?
No. We bought it. Hmm. We bought it after, bought the schoolhouse and the school grounds after the school dissolved and went to Kendrick. The state forced that on us, you know, a consolidation of districts. Which I never did approve of, and I don't approve of yet.
Was that just a one-room schoolhouse there?
One-room schoolhouse.
How many years did you go there?
One time there was 48 kids in it. Too much for one teacher, but they did learn a little. Learned enough. Most of them went to high school, I think, afterwards.
How many years did you go to that one room schoolhouse?
Eighth grade. And of course, after that, then you went to the high school of your choice, which is usually Kendrick. I went 1 year to Kendrick, and 1 year to Lewiston. I had a sister living in Lewiston, and I boarded with her and went to Lewiston. And my brothers both had to go to the war. Pete enlisted, Frankie was drafted, and nobody to take care of the place, so that was the last of my schooling. After the war, I never went back to school.
Were you working the place all by yourself then?
Yeah, mostly. That was another thing. You couldn't hire a good man. You couldn't hire a man to take care of the place. So I had high school kids. Just one at a time is all I ever hired. So we got by. Raised the crop.
Were prices better during the war years?
Oh yeah. Yeah, during the war prices came up. I'm trying to think. I think wheat got to $2.25. That was after the war. That was I believe the fall of 19, my memory tells me right. Somebody would have a record of it. We got to $2.19. That busted a lot of guys. They thought, like they think now, it's going to $5.
Mm.
And they hung on to it and it went back down to, I don't remember how low it went, but it went low enough to bust a lot of them. If it was sold when it was 2.25, they could have paid off all their debts, you know, and been on top of the world, but they held them. And then after it started back down, they wouldn't sell, and they held on, and it went to the bottom, and they had to sell. Some of them lost their places over it.
Why did it go back down again?
Who knows? Who knows what's this, brought this terrible raise right now? I wouldn't be surprised if wheat never came back. Wouldn't be a bit surprised. Because I've seen it happen before.
When your brothers came back, then you all three started farming together and farming a bigger place?
We rented another place and we were very fortunate. We got 200 acres of land. Then we bought 40 acres, paid $100 an acre for it, and like to never paid for it. You know, things just kept going down and down.
That was when the Depression was coming on?
Mm-hmm. Well, it went right from then. What was it? That was about 1920. And the depth of the Depression was in 32, you see, so it was just gradually going off. Where the first crop we raised, after the war, we got a good price for it. We sold them, I think we got $2.15 or something like that for a wheat. And that saved our goats, because we had gone in debt for horses and machinery, and we was able to pay off that first fall. But then it just went from bad to worse.
How long did the Depression last out here?
Well, all through the 30s, really. It started picking up, well, let's see. When was Roosevelt elected? Can you remember? Started picking up from the time he was elected. I believe it was 32. I think that was about the toughest. As it comes before, it had to be 32, didn't it? 32 and 36 and 40.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think it was 32 that lasted is when it started picking up. But those were lean years, clearing from the 20s. Well, practically up to the 40s. But it was getting better, and when everything is getting a little bit better each year, you know, you can make go of it.
Were there programs out here that helps you directly?
There were at one time. I think they've probably killed them all now. But the government used to, what do you call it, subsidize, or I don't know what the word is. It was no big amount. Big farmers, great big farmers, they made a killing on it because well, matter of fact, you can farm, you know, there's more economy in a big farm than there is in a little farm. Little farm, you got to support your family, the first thing you do, and that was kind of hard to do at times.
Did you ever have to take another job besides farming?
Well, no. As a matter of fact, there wasn't another job to be had. With as much livestock as we had on hand, it just, you know, it'd be pretty near impossible. I always cut my own wood, though. Used to burn wood exclusively. And that helped a little.
Did you cut it with a bucksaw or sweet saw or what?
Pardon?
Cut it with a bucksaw or sweet saw?
Yeah, a two-man saw. Yeah, I pulled an old cross cut a good many days. As my neighbor up here would say, that makes a noise like one. You better talk to Norley, you'll get some. His memory is much keener than mine, much keener. He can remember dates that I can't, that I've forgotten years ago.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering about what it was, you know, how the changes happened, how things changed over the years here.
Well, I can't tell you. They changed, and just what brought the change about, I don't know. It was so gradual, you know, that you just accept it. That's all. You don't really realize it's happening until it has happened. There's been no, I can't think of any drastic change that ever took place.
Things just kind of kept getting harder and harder for the small farmer?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, there used to be years ago, there were lots of farms around here, 80 acres, and even down to 40 acres. And the majority of them was 160. But it just wasn't enough, you know what I mean, to support a family anymore. They used to do it, and how they done it, I don't know, because, we know that everything was cheaper. Personally, I lay the most of it to labor.
The cost of labor?
Yeah, the cost of labor. And that's what brought bigger equipment. And my nephew over here is farming all the land. We three boys used to farm. But he's doing it with a lot bigger equipment. Different equipment. Used to take when we first started combining, we had two sack sawers, a header puncher, and a driver on the combine. There was a crew of four. Mm-hmm. Well, now he combines all alone.
The first combines, with the first combines, you still sacked the grain?
Yeah, sacked it. Yeah. And then all those sacks had to be picked up.
Mm-hmm.
I about broke my back picking up sacks.
How much does sacks weigh?
Oh, usually about 145 pounds, 140 maybe. Depends. A lot of times we use secondhand sacks. And they've been stretched, you know. You could get 145 pounds in them pretty easy. New sacks about 140. And it depended a lot on your sack sawer. If you had a good sack sawer, he filled your sacks.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a poor sack sawer, well, he sewed them up kind of sloppy. My brother used to sew sacks all the time, and he was a good one. Real good.
Pete or